It's never a good week when somebody you love is taken away by violence, and I think you would all agree with me. I don't mean to be trite, but I had a backache last week and a heartache this week, and I think many of you expressed that to me. And I had something in mind on Sunday to preach about, but I had to sit down with these scriptures and look for meaning and answers. And I'm a firm believer that God speaks deeply through the Sunday readings, and I think he really has something to say to us, to our situation in them. And it's we find Jesus once again at the waters of the Jordan. We haven't really left yet. Last week was the baptism of the Lord, and Jesus is still there in the gospel. We linger at this moment because it's such a moment of great importance. We don't often think about how much the implications of what Jesus did. John begins with a kind of a ponderous statement. He existed before me, although he came after me. And there's another line I can't remember. What he means is that Jesus is the only human being that ever lived that made the choice to be born. And, in fact, chose to come to this world as a human being. The rest of us, we wake and we find ourselves in the water, as a book I've read that in the seminary said. We find ourselves alive and have to find meaning. And this is the way God set the world up. We find ourselves in a world and have to make sense of it. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all. But Jesus created everything, and the Father's will was that he become a human being. And Jesus embraced this fully and with all his heart. So he was born in obscurity, and when we find him queued up in line with all the other sinners waiting to be baptized. There's a whole line of people waiting for John, and John's baptism was not Father, Son, and Spirit. They were simply going in the water and coming out, and as they came out, this was a dramatic act of repentance. You know, and there's not a person in this room that doesn't need to go through that line and acknowledge our sins, except Jesus. He's the only one that didn't need to be in line. And he looks just like everybody else. Here's the sinless Son of God, queued up with all the sinners. Nobody recognizes him. He doesn't look any different than any other Jewish guy of about 30 years of age. He's got a Galilean accent. He's come a long way. But John recognizes him. And John has, we know that John was his cousin, but they obviously weren't raised together. A lot of speculation on that. So John had never laid eyes on him. And yet he says, I did not know him, and yet I recognized him because the Spirit taught him. The Spirit came down upon Jesus. John saw it, not everyone else. And he says, behold the Lamb of God, as Jesus approaches. It would be as if, to use a modern example, I heard many, many confessions during Advent and Christmas. In some cases, we had some long lines. Now imagine Jesus getting in line for confession. And I'm sitting there in my room, and suddenly Jesus comes in, and he looks like anybody else. He's in disguise, of course. He doesn't look like what we would imagine him, with a long robe. And I realize suddenly that I'm in the presence of the Son of God. And I'd say, what are you doing here in the confessional? Shouldn't I come to you? Would you hear my confession? And he'd say, no, to fulfill all righteousness, you have to hear mine. And I'd say to him, you have no sins. He says, oh, but I do. I'm carrying the sins of all humanity. This is why I entered the water, carrying all of your sins. And at that moment, he fully embraced being a human being. He, at that moment, was willing to be known as a sinner. And God, when Almighty God mixes with fallen human beings, there's only one outcome to that story: that Jesus would end in a violent death. There was no other alternative. And he knew that. He knew it was coming. This was what he embraced, because he laid down his power. He laid down his omniscience while he walked the earth. He embraced our limitations, our frailty. He made himself vulnerable to others, to misunderstandings, to hatred, and ultimately to murder. It's beginning to sound familiar, isn't it? It's a story we hear over and over again. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." This is one of the changes that we will hear in Advent, and I haven't talked much about it yet, but I'm going to begin to now. Each of these changes, most of them are things you're going to hear rather than say. Most of them are priests' parts that are changing, actually. And this is one we've heard for 40 years, and briefly before that, after Vatican II, we used the word behold, and then it was changed to, this is the Lamb of God. There's nothing wrong with this word, this is the Lamb of God. When the priest holds up the host, this really is Jesus. But I'll tell you something, it doesn't look like him. But it didn't look like him in line either. You need someone to point him out. The Holy Spirit must enlighten you. It's not enough for me to say, this is Jesus. It has to come from your heart. Jesus holds himself up. I'm holding him, but it's Jesus who puts himself before you, vulnerable, broken. The host is broken into pieces. I hold up only a piece of the large host that was consecrated. He allows himself to be rejected, to be taken sacrilegiously, because he loves us, to be eaten, to be consumed. He's still vulnerable. He's still letting himself be fully one of us. Behold the Lamb of God. This is the difference in the language. Behold the Lamb of God is a lot more scriptural. Everything in the Mass is scriptural. Every single piece of it. But we're going to hear many more connections directly, like this one, coming right out of this gospel. It is from this gospel that we use that phrase, at the Lamb of God. And now it'll be a lot clearer. But the word behold invites us into a mystery. When I say the word, behold the Lamb of God, behold. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. We use it twice. John used it once. What does it mean to behold? It means I'm invited to enter into the greatest mystery of all time. Almighty God becomes a frail human being, willing even to be put to death out of love, in order that I might love him. Almighty God makes himself vulnerable to rejection and hatred and even murder for love of me. And he still is today. This is the great mystery. To behold is to be invited to contemplate, and even in heaven we will not come to the end of this great mystery. So behold is a much deeper term, and as we begin to hear it over and over again, Sunday after Sunday, it will become part of our own way of thinking. And this is exactly why that word is a lot richer, and I can't wait to use it. I'm going to wait till Advent, even though I want to cheat and start now. So, so we come to this mystery, and we might be tempted to think that Jesus is a bystander, a observer of this world. He did set it up the way it is. We wonder where he is when tragedies occur. There was one that caught my attention. Most of you probably missed it. Depends on what website you're looking at. Certainly it wasn't covered in any of the local newspapers, but the Coptic Christians on Christmas there, it was either Christmas or Epiphany, had a suicide bomber in one of their churches in Alexandria, which was condemned in the Islamic world and in all the Christian churches. I think these bombings, like the one in Baghdad, is going to serve to really unite many different Christian faiths, and as well as helping Islam and Christianity actually paradoxically to get closer together, at least the ones that don't want to kill us, which is most of them. But you ask yourself, why, God? Where were you at? Why didn't you protect these people? It was Christmas Day, or it was Epiphany, which is a big deal in the Eastern churches. But Jesus was there. He was suffering with them. He died again. He died with them. But as long as we live, God made us vulnerable to each other. This is our free will. He didn't do these things. It is our free will that is where this evil is coming from. And until we die, we are in this world vulnerable, like he was. But we know that God is with us. We know he works things to good, although it takes a long time to see it sometimes. Jesus is not a bystander. He is the Lamb of God. The word Lamb of God is a very odd term. It's only used in John. I wish I could talk for an hour about it, but all I want to say is that I would prefer to say, behold the Son of God. Behold the Lion of Judah. You know, behold a lamb. This is not a term that one would think of as an exalted term for Almighty God. But what is a lamb? Trusting, vulnerable, weak, easily broken. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus is one of us. He entered humanity, and it was permanent. It was not an experiment. He still carries his glorified body in heaven and waits for us to join him. He wants us to know that he suffers with us. All of us have to take turns being Christ in our world. Sometimes we're sick. We are Christ on the cross, and those who visit us are visiting Christ. At the same time, when we visit the sick, we are Christ to them. Sometimes I'm misunderstood, or we are somebody says things that are not true, like they said about Christ. You have taken on the role of Christ, who was slandered and calumniated. Out of love, we bear these things. Sometimes we marry somebody and somebody falls out of love. But at that moment, Christ is with us. You know, Christ died of a broken heart. The list goes on and on. And sometimes, I can tell you, whenever somebody dies a violent death, none of us is the innocent. We all have to get in line with John the Baptist. But when someone's life is taken unjustly, it is always Christ. Always. He dies again. We are his children. He's not sitting on a couch watching us. He's right here, broken, the Lamb of God. This is what gives meaning to the Mass. Behold the Lamb of God. It's not just a ritual. It really is Jesus. This is the Lamb of God. He was broken for you. When you're broken in your life, it may not be as dramatic as what we had this week, please God. But still, Christ is with you in your sufferings. He doesn't explain why, but he says, I'm here with you. I've been there. I'm still there. I'm still with you. This is one of the great meanings, I think, of this scripture. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world.